praise his name. Let's all stand, if you would. Just bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, truly we're so appreciative. Your grace and your mercy you show us. Father, giving us health to come. And Lord, to fulfill our desire, Lord, to be here. And Lord, to hear you speak to us. It's an honor and a privilege. Lord Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one that's gathered here. Just look into our hearts, Father, and meet our individual needs this day. As your word comes forth, may our hearts be open to receive. Bless us now. Bless the service, Lord, the songs that prepare our hearts. Lord, just may you have your way in everything. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Let's turn our big books. I'd like to start on page 249. Amen. I am determined. Praise his name. Are you determined this morning? Hallelujah. When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled, like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always say, oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Satan was so angry, he said he'd soon be back. But let the path get narrow, and he will lose the track. Yes, I'm so full of glory, my Lord, I always find. And I just say to Satan, amen. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. This old-time religion makes me sometimes shout. I don't have time to gossip, nor any time to pout. They say that I'm too noisy, but when these blessings flow, oh, hallelujah, amen. I want the world to know, oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, when I hear the trumpet sounding in the sky, and meet the mountains trembling, to heaven I will fly. For Jesus will be calling, there'll be no time to mend. Joy I'll go up singing, I've held out to the end. Oh, I am determined, amen. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. Are you determined? Oh, glory. Amen. What a day to live in. Page 175. Amen. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Hallelujah.
In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say, there's nothing like religion, in the good old-fashioned way. I'm walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian or anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, anything I know. There are many things I'd like to be as the journey I pursue. I long to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. Oh, but I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Amen. Thing I know. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since my Savior brought me out. I tell the world both far and near as I travel here below. Oh, that I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Amen. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord. Amen. Sing it again. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Amen. Is that from your heart? I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Amen. Than this newfangled stuff they have. Praise his name. Page, amen, 42. Amen. I love this little song. I feel like traveling on. Is anyone with me? Ready to go home? Hallelujah. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling. I feel, amen, traveling on.
changed his name. Sound like the piano's getting a little excited too. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. Are you ready, saints? Are you getting ready? Amen. That's what we're here today for. Lord, is there something else? I'm sure it is. Get ready. Go home. Oh, what a day to look forward to. Praise his name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Praise his holy name. That's the blessing.
Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us and praise you for what you've done and everything we say and do. Bless the service and bless this offering for the upbringing of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Amen. Feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on. Amen. Oh, feeling so much better talking about this good old way.
Feeling so much better
talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on. Oh, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Oh, hallelujah, talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on talking about the Lord. Amen. Do you love talking about him? Amen. Spread the good news. Amen. How many have something on your heart? Request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Amen. Brother Paul, would you like to take the request?
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we come this morning here before you today, Lord Jesus. Come here and gather around your word, Lord Jesus, for the food is, Lord, today, Lord, just for this, that's just the hour you've given us, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful food you have given us, Lord, with the dedication, Lord Father. We just thank you, Lord, so much for that, Lord. It's just the light of the world, Lord Jesus. We just want to thank you for that, Lord. I pray just be with us this day, Lord Jesus. And all these many needs people have, Lord Jesus, just look down upon them and just fulfill those needs, Lord. Lord, my hand up too, Father. Just be with those, Lord Jesus, that are in need of the word, Father. Just
thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Someone have a song this morning? Amen. Tim, you got something? That should be covered.
Jesus went into the temple when he was only 12. His words of the elders as his wisdom they beheld. Then the multitude that followed to hear the man from Galilee. Never a man spake like this man. He said, come follow me. Never a man spake like this man, the glorious King of Kings. He spoke to my troubled soul, and now my heart sings. has promised in his holy word, someday his face I'd see. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come follow me. He calmed the troubled waters with a few words from his lips. The lame walked, the dumb talked when he said to them, and Lazarus came forth from the grave when he heard the Master speak. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come follow me. Never a man spake like this man, the glorious King of Kings. He spoke to my troubled soul, and now my heart sings. He has promised in his holy word, someday his face I'd see. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come follow me. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come follow me.
Speak to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe.
Ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful and appreciative of this little opportunity you've given us another time. And Lord, we come with all sincerity and love and respect for your word. And we ask today that you would help us now to deliver this little portion of the word that you've laid upon my heart to bring. May it be understood, Lord, in the way that you've laid upon my heart. And Father, may we always have a desire burning within, Lord, to please you, O God, above everything in this life. We ask now that you just have your preeminence, and we wait on you to speak to us through the word. And again, Lord, help us to deliver what you've laid upon our hearts. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. Are you so thankful to be here this morning?
Amen.
I am by his mercy and grace. Amen. It's his love and his mercy that lets us gather here. Because, you know, if he wouldn't have placed a desire in our heart, to be here, we wouldn't be here. Amen. So I'm so appreciative of that. Amen. I'm glad to see Brother Mike back with us and all you precious people with us this morning. If you'd like to turn with me, let's turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter. I'll bring a strange little subject to you this morning, and trust that you will be understanding, and that you will not cut something out in the Word because maybe of what I'm reading, or maybe because of the way you feel about it. But it's something that I've been asked about even clear back a few weeks ago. And it seems like the subject keeps coming up. And so I begin to pray and just wait on the Lord. And there's no way I'll get through this whole subject this morning, but Lord willing, we'll finish up sometime. But it's the scripture, let's read Exodus 20 and then 7th verse. Let's read this. And I was, again, kind of planning on going back to the thoughts of God, eternal thoughts of God, but it just seemed like you can't go that direction until the Lord says go back. So here we go. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And may the Lord bless you in this word, and you may be seated. You wonder, well, why in the world are you preaching on that? Well, as the question is asked me, if I would do or say different things. And I believe today I just want to read a few things to show you why I don't say certain things. Okay. Why I may not say it the way many people say things and how they say it. And I may have to say some things today that'll sound, to me, it hurts me to even say it, because I'm not that type of person. And I'm very respectful toward God, His Word, His precious Word, and His precious Holy Spirit. But today I'll say some things, and I ask the Lord ahead of time to forgive me for saying it the way I have to say it. But sometimes, as the prophet said, you know, you go to the doctor's office, and sometimes they'd just be playing with you, you know, and just talk about your private parts and things, you know. And it ain't maybe the best thing you like to hear sometime. But as I speak these things this morning, as I said, I asked the Lord ahead of time to forgive me if to even say these things. But I must say it. And it'll clear up your question as far as the way I see about it. And now you may look at this may be my opinion. Then I can say this is my understanding of it. Okay? And if I'm wrong, I'm sure the Lord will show me. But I don't believe I'm wrong. But anyhow, we find here in this, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now just, what is that? You know, because this is definitely a scripture. There's so many. Now remember, this is one of the Ten Commandments. But it's such an opinionated verse. I mean, it's so opinionated. People have so many opinions of it. And honestly, I don't even want my own opinion. I want what I believe to be what the Lord wants, you know. And we may sit there and think, well, I can just answer it real quick. Well, can you? Are you sure you can? And let me ask you this. Now, there's some of the families in here still have little children. And again, now, Lord, forgive me if I have to say things like this. And I don't want these children to repeat these things how I say it. Okay? But what if your little 3 or 4-year-old son comes up to you? And maybe daddy done something funny. And he says, oh, Lord Jesus, that's so funny, daddy. What would you think about that? What if he comes up to you and he's, you know, wanting to be a little, just a little smart aleck, but he's heard daddy maybe say it? And he might come up to you, or maybe the little daughter comes up, or maybe somebody you're babysitting comes comes up and your children hears it. And that little child of yours comes up and says, "My God, why wouldn't you do this better for me?" Would you like your children talking like that? No. I wouldn't. And I didn't let my children talk like that when they was growing up. And you see, well, how important is this? Well, to me, it's very important. I don't want God to be displeased with me. And there's a little sister that should be here today. I wish she was, because it would help her. And I looked at it this way. When I come in and begin to see the situation already, I thought, you know, Lord, I'm not responsible for sheep that don't show up. I can't be. Because maybe they have a little something different they want to do. Not because they're sick, not because of this, that, and the other. But I cannot be responsible for sheep that doesn't show up or want to listen to what's been said. I can't be. Though I want to be. I want to see everyone be right and pleasing to the Lord. I want everybody to be just right with the Lord. You know? But like I say, it's getting to be too much of a common thing of what I'm talking about today. And it's a serious thing, saints. It ain't something to just brush off and just leave it go as nothing there. You know? You say, well, I want to know how you feel about it. Well, you're going to see how I understand about today. Okay? And I don't have nothing against anybody that doesn't understand it that way. But I have to serve God knowing how I've got to stand before the Lord. Amen. You've got to stand on how you feel you've got to stand before the Lord. Okay? And I'm just going to write down, I've wrote down a few things so you understand. Kind of things, phrases that get said, may not be exactly like, but just different phrases. And I've heard ministers do this before. You know, some other minister or somebody else say something, and they'll think it's so funny, and oh, dear Jesus, and just laugh. And then they'll say, "Oh my Lord, why didn't you burn them? Why did you burn them pancakes? What's the Lord got to do with you burning pancakes?" You say, "Well, that's nothing though. That I'm not directly talking about. That's just the way I talk, is it? Is that all that name means to you? Those titles, even Lord, God, Jehovah. Is that all those things mean to you? I mean." To me, I'm so thankful to know the great Jehovah, the Almighty God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So thankful. Or maybe say, "Dear Jesus, would you quit mowing that grass so short?" You might tell your wife that. Your wife tell the husband that. What's Jesus got to do with you cutting your grass short? How valuable is that name to us? How important is that name to us? But it's just getting to be a common thing. You know why? Because they're in the world, and the world does it all the time. It's like I mentioned, they're little slang things and things people pick up from worldly people. I don't understand it. To me, I can't figure it out. It's like I've mentioned before, you know, they may be sitting there looking at green paint, and they'll say, "It's light green paint." And it might be a steak. It's like a nice steak. Well, is it a steak or is it not? Is it like a steak? You know? But that is a worldly phrase that's picked up through Hollywood. And people don't realize it. I don't. If people would only be so easier or be as so great as to pick up everything God says to do as easy as they can pick up worldly phrases, it'd be fantastic. Wow, we'd be in better shape. You know? But we're in this world, but I wonder sometimes if we're also of it. But we're not supposed to be the thing, we're in this world, but we're not of it. You know? We're not here to do that. More phrases I got wrote down. "My God, can't you plant that field better than that?" What if Brother Paul's brother come up to him? "My God, can't you do a better job than that?" What's God got to do to plant in that field? Maybe the rose is crooked. It's awful loose to be used. Or, my God, will you stop that? What's got to do with that? I mean, seriously, what does it? My God, would you just let me do this on my own? Again, what's it got to do with it? You know, but there's so many phrases we use so loosely. You know, and like I say, it's, and I know you have people come in your home, and you've told me, you said, I had to tell my children not to talk like that. I would too. I would too. Because there's no way I'd have little Junior come up to me and see little Junior ever tell other little Junior, say, my God, get off my bicycle. Would you? Remember, little fellows are what they hear. They are learners of everything they hear immediately. And they pick that up. And oh, my, it's just, it's exciting times then because it's something new. You know, so I'm going to say that too. Yeah. But we don't realize as adults sometimes what we're training our child to do or letting other people train our child to do. You know? That's why I've always told people, be very careful. You know, if you're babysitting other children, you make sure you're going to have to be right on the line, friends. Making sure everything that those worldly children are doing, they ain't passing off to yours. Yeah. And they may not do it around daddy and mommy, but let them go over to uncle's house or grandpa's house, grandma's house, and then see how they start talking. Yeah. The little fellas know, well, mommy and daddy said not to talk like that, but now that little seed's being planted in them. But is there anything wrong with it? I know none of us would mean wrong by it. Absolutely not. But are we thinking about what seed is planting? Are we thinking about what our children is learning? And they're coming up and starting to talk like that. There's no way me as a daddy would let my children be disrespectful to God. I want them to anything to do with God, titles, anything, to respect it. Yes. Nothing fun about Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, nothing. No. Nothing funny about it. No. Because all those things, all those titles, their names are precious. Yeah. Now I'm going to read you some things. And like I say, and don't even sit there and think maybe if, because I know there's many, several in here do that. But I just want you to, not even take it as correction to you. I just want you to think about it, what you're doing. I just want you to understand some things that the Scripture says and that the prophet said. Okay? We find here first, we'll look it up in vain. We looked it up in the Greek, or I'm sorry, Hebrew lexicon. And in vain, it means emptiness, which means lacking meaning or sincerity. Meaningless. Emptiness of statement. Are those things emptiness of statement? Aren't they without sincerity? Yeah. When Junior has to go up to other little Junior and says, my God, get off my bicycle. Isn't that awful? Meaningless? Emptiness? It's vain. That little child's learning from that size right there that there's nothing to anything to do with God. It's just, oh, wow. Everybody else does it. Uncle does it. Grandpa does it. So, remember, as parents, you parents are absolutely responsible to raise your children in the way it should go. Regardless of what surrounding area you have to change, you're responsible. Now, pay attention, saints. Emptiness. It is nothingness, which means insignificant to the main subject being spoke about. Think of that. What does dear Jesus have to do with somebody telling a joke and me laughing at it? You tell me. It's like Brother Branham said, if you let the Holy Spirit get you up in the sphere, you look back and see how foolish some of this stuff is. I'm sorry I have to be the one to remind us of it and tell us about it, but it's my responsibility. It's vanity, which is to be used in a way to make others think that you love God. Oh. So I'm going to say, dear Jesus, because I want people to think I love the Lord Jesus. Over something silly as those things? They say, well, now the prophet said these things, but he didn't ever use it in that way. When he'd be praying and talking to the Lord, he'd say, my God, come and help us this day. Amen. Yeah. You didn't ever, and yet anybody that ever give testimonies of him, never give examples like that of him when you're saying like that. And surely if he'd done those things, you'd catch it in his sermons. But you won't. No. And the prophets is the examples for us. You see? Our Lord Jesus Christ is our example. Now, let's go on. So if it's, again, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So we got on our head that we had to say, God, blanket. For Jesus Christ, stop this. Is that all it is? Sad. Sad to think that. Friends, it's a very serious thing. I am so thankful the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to me and gave himself to me and come into my life. I do not want to just make it of light that there's nothing to it. But you watch people that doesn't have that respect. I mean, they'll use that phrase constantly. They'll be talking to men on the job and, oh, my God, did you see this television show? Or did you hear this on the radio? My God, you know? So far, you're getting sick of hearing me say that? Yeah. Or go say something funny to me. Oh, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Oh, my. That holy name. Such a mockery. Remember just a couple of services ago about chastisement? If this does chasten you, again, I hope it doesn't mean that way to you, but I just hope it enlightens your understanding. But if you take it as chastisement and you can't take it, then what are you? A bastard. So young people, as I have mentioned these things in your children, I'm doing this so that people will know plainly what I'm talking about. And that is the only reason why. Don't say it around me. I love my Lord Jesus more than that. I respect him more than that. And use his name in vain. It's senseless. Without sincerity. It's a serious thing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. But again, like I said last week, oh, I forgot this is 2020. You know what I did when I took the calendar down and changed it over in my study for this year now? I sit there in my recliner and I took and started January and began to flip through each month. I began to ask myself, Lord, did I overcome something in that month? Did I get a greater understanding, Lord, in this month? Is there something, Lord, in this month I'm not seeing I'm doing wrong? Lord, what do you want me to do over here? As each month I flip through And then I looked at the whole calendar and said, what did I do for you this year, Lord? What did you accomplish in my life? Another year gone. Gone so quickly. But what did I do? In Influence, Prophet says, paragraph 103, November 14, 1963, and the world has got into such a place. Now, if a priest comes and drinks, the congregation has got the right to drink. And ain't that the truth about a lot of things? Not just that, but many things. If they see their pastor do this and pastor do that, oh, they can do it. That's another reason why I don't want to be one that speaks like that. It's bad enough without me doing it and everybody following me. He says, and if a priest comes in and drinks, the congregation has got the right to drink. There's your example. Oh my, what a corruption we're living in. We need a house cleaning all the way from the pulpit all the way back. Yes, sir, we certainly do. How the corruption of the world, all these, there's no reverence, no respects. The people today, they don't respect God. How true is of so many things in God's word. They don't respect it. They have no reverence. They take his name in vain. They tell dirty jokes. And then even ministers do that. Yeah, and I've seen ministers do that. You know? You hear a joke, I guess it would be all right, but ministers should be examples. So I'm telling you today with what I'm bringing, why I'm not going to do this when you ask me, okay? And why you have not seen me do it. You'll never see where I've done it. Never. I think of righteousness and holiness when it comes to ministers. Now you might sit there and think, well, praise God, I'm not a minister. So is that the only reason why you do what you do and don't do? Because you're not a minister? We're all responsible for the life of Christ to be made manifest through these tabernacles of flesh. Every one of us. He says, and that's the reason I think maybe we don't get no further than we do. We don't come to this with sincerity that we ought to have. When you're carrying on and going on, you lose that little grain of sincerity. There's something about it. Yeah. You must remember, God is watching you every hour. He watches you when you're asleep. I think that's the reason people do the things, is because they're not conscious of his presence. But yet, he is there. Whether you think he is or not, he sees every look that you make and every move that you make. He knows all about it, but we ought to realize that. How we should. When we are taking care of our children in the home and we see these little things crop up that they've picked up off of somebody else. Yeah. How we should put a stop to it. Yeah. And I'll remind you again. Would you want your children talking like that? I didn't, and I would not tolerate it. No. I always tried to teach them in a way to grow up, to always respect the Word of God and anything of God, which a lot of children are not taught anymore. No. It's all centered on, I'll just spank them if they do this, and I'll spank them if they do that, and all that. And well, some of them even quit spanking. But they do this and they do that, and just think it's a one straight line, and there's nothing that can come off one side or the other. Friends, you've got to be looking at every root and crack that starts anywhere and get it stopped. Because you are responsible for their life. As long as they are under your domain, your control. To that age, you're responsible. And if they get this big, and show disrespect. I'm not saying do it. But I got plowed in the mouth. And that's what a lot of kids need. That's where the problem is. Yeah. All this starts down here. But we let things go so and just slide by like we're living in a circus and riding the rides and having fun. We should watch for our adversary, the devil. For he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And don't you think Satan would love to see you disrespect God? Absolutely he would. He started way back getting the people to disrespect him. Way back. Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then men began to see they needed God. Then men began to see it was a serious thing to call upon God. And began to see that the great Jehovah Lord of the Old Testament was needed in their life. Needed for their leadership and their guidance. Yeah. John 20:26. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Just reading a few things, you'll see something. In the Greek, under God, it says it is a general name of deity or divinity. Christ is called God in John 1:1, 20:28, 1 John 20th verse, Romans 9:5, Titus 2:13, Hebrews 1:8, and etc. I want you to think about something. Because maybe our excuse is, well, then wait a minute, Brother Steve. The scripture says, I'll read it again, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I don't take Jesus Christ's name in vain, you might say. I'm going to tell you, back when those Ten Commandments was wrote, Jesus Christ's name wasn't known of. Was it? No. Brother Branham, I'll read here in a little bit. In the Old Testament, it was Jehovah of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ of the New. Yeah. So now if that's the case, then it doesn't apply to us today. It doesn't? That doesn't apply to us? Because it's in the Old Testament? That sounds like a lot of people in this message. Praise God, it's in the Old Testament. That's just forget that. But every verse in that Bible, friends, you can see Jesus Christ. And if you can't, he said, go back and read it again. Yeah. Go back and read it again. I know this may sound a little bit crazy and all that. But the Holy Ghost in me says that doesn't please God. I am responsible to live by what Holy Spirit He's put in me. As I've said before, if I have to serve Jesus Christ alone, I'll serve Him alone. Yeah. because he's real to me by his mercy and grace. Okay? Let's just read Daniel 2. Let these scriptures just build up in you for a minute. Daniel 2nd chapter and 16th verse will begin. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Think of that. Just think of that. Now this is Daniel talking to the Lord. Yeah. Daniel talking to the Lord. He couldn't have said, Lord Jesus, be with me. I am blessed of the Lord Jesus. I didn't say that. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for the wisdom and might are his. Okay? Let's just read another one. Psalm 69:29. Then we'll read some things after these. Psalm 69:29, 29th verse beginning. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that move therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Don't you think as David said those things, it wasn't precious to him? My Lord, my God. Yeah, but we know that the name given now is Jesus. Go read it. But doesn't God, don't you even say in sometimes in your prayer, oh God, I love thee. Huh? Don't you? Don't you sometimes maybe in prayer, oh sweet, great Jehovah. Huh? Don't you sometimes say, Lord, we say it sometimes? Yeah. Would you want those same things? Titles? To be placed with mockery? I wouldn't want to. Because it means more than that to me. I am blessed. You are blessed to call him Lord. And be Lord of your life. You're blessed to know God. What? This is life eternal. To know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Oh. Why would I want to use it so lightly in phrases that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about? Well, because I love God and I want to use it. Are you sure? Are you sure that you do? To be disrespectful and to their children to be disrespectful. Well, Brother Steve, I looked at it this way. My little children's talking like that. You know, they're little Christians. Boy, if Satan ain't deceived you to make you think such, to use those things so lightly and so disrespectfully. Exodus 6, in the second verse. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Think of that. I wish we had time to go all these different directions on this, but I've got to at least get to a certain point this morning. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and he says, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. Let's go on. Psalms 83:16. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name. O Lord, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. I see all the different things being used that people just so far, but there's thousands of them. How that God's people talk to him. They was in a different age than what we are. Yeah. They didn't understand what we understand. But yet still, what does that name mean to us? Or what does those titles even mean to us? Well, to me, I'm thankful that my precious Lord God can come from my lips. I'm thankful that I can say, my Lord, which is my ruler, I need you. Yes. Look how many times the prophet said the many different things he said. Did he always just say, Lord Jesus Christ? No. Read it for yourself. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Steve, I believe is the only name that we can't say in vain. Because all others ain't a name. Well, let's read some things. In a church age book, let's begin to read here. And this is page 332. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be of no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Hallelujah, he says. Here is Jehovah of the Old Testament, the God of the Amen. Here is Jesus of the New Testament, the God of the Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. One God. There it is again. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The New Testament does not reveal another God. It is a further revelation of the one and the same God. Christ did not come down to make himself known. He did not come to reveal the Son. He came to reveal and make known the Father. He never talked about two gods. He talked about one God. And now in this last age, we have come back to the capstone revelation, the most important revelation of the Godhead in the whole Bible. That is, Jesus is God. He and the Father are one. There is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of Adam. He is the God of the Amen. He never changes. What he does never changes. He says it, and it stands fast. He does it, and it's done forever. None can take from that. He says, or add to it. So let it be. He says again, so let it be. Aren't you glad that you serve that kind of God? You can know exactly where you are with him at any time and all the time. He is the Amen God, and it won't change. If I'd be that respectful to my Lord Jesus Christ, that name, wouldn't I respect God? Wouldn't I respect the Lord? Huh? Oh my. Maybe you don't feel you would or have to. But again, that's what I feel. So when you ask me, you know why I don't want to talk like that. Because I respect all these things that God has allowed me to understand and to know. He says here in Deuteronomy 5:11, let's read this. Deuteronomy 5:11. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's just another way of saying it. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So just refresh you back to that, just a different verse. Now go to Christ revealed in his own word. Now we know God chose by predestination in his church. He placed his prophets and all about it by foreknowledge. He predestinated his prophet. And when the age arrived, he had his prophet arrive at the same time and inspired him as he wrote the Bible by him. Now, God wrote the Bible only using the prophet because that's his way of doing it, see? It is the word of God and not the word of man. So when God, he's telling us here, when God wrote the Bible, he wrote it through his prophets, you see? All right? God is a person. I'm going to stop here and say, maybe you haven't experienced it. But I have seen worldly people. When someone's professing to be a Christian and say, my God, why'd you do this? They look at that person and say, you talk like that? That's a sinner. That's a sinner. Or bring up Jesus or Jesus Christ and just make a hee-haw about it. They even recognize it. There's something, boy, something wrong about this. You know, I don't understand this thing, but I don't know why you'd be talking like that. You know? But he goes on to say, God is a person. God can speak. God can talk. God can write. He didn't have to do it that way, but that's the way he does. He chose to do it. He says he didn't have to do it that way, but he chose to do it that way anyhow. See, God wrote with his finger, his own majestic finger, the Ten Commandments. Think of that. God wrote with his own majestic finger the Ten Commandments. My. And he wanted to make sure his name was respected. So God could write himself if he wanted to, but he chose to write through prophets because it was his attributes, his word he expressed through them, making all a part or a part of him. He could write with his finger. He also took his finger and wrote on the walls of Babylon, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Wow. Wouldn't want to disrespect that name or that title even. Because God is God and he's a person. Yeah. He wrote with his own finger. He says, God can talk. Yeah. Now remember,
what I'm reading here. God can talk. Do you believe God can talk? He talked to Moses on the mount in a burning bush. Wow. You believe that? Yes, sir. He talked to John in the form of a dove. Do you believe that? Absolutely. I'm thankful I served that God. Oh, so thankful. I never want to just take even God lightly. He is my Lord. Yes. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. That's what he said through the dove. He talked to him. He spoke to Jesus on Mount Transfiguration before Peter on Mount Transfiguration. And he spoke to Jesus before a whole multitude of people when the people said it thundered. But it was God speaking to Jesus. And almost all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus speaking. He is God. God can talk. Took his own finger and wrote on and said, one day he spoke, he preached, and he prophesied with his own lips. God did when he was made flesh and dwelt among us. God manifested in flesh. If he can write, speak, can he also tell others what to do? Certainly can. He can talk to them in a human voice. He can write and show them what to do. He has done it. So God in sundry times and divers manners spake to the fathers, to the prophets, and he said on this writing that not one jot nor tittle shall ever pass until it's fulfilled. And then it's manifested. Then it will pass because it's manifested. It can't pass then. But just the word itself made flesh, jot means small word, tittle means small mark. Not even one pronunciation or expression, anything shall ever fail in the Word of God. It can't fail because it's God. God manifested in the form of human flesh, for it's God himself, letter form, prophet form, manifested in flesh. And that's the reason Jesus could say, the ones who spoke to you, who called them gods, who spoke to you by the Word of God, said, and they were gods, those prophets, when they were anointed with the Spirit of God and brought exactly the Word of God, then they were gods. It was God's Word speaking through them, you see. They only interpret as the author would permit them to interpret. Now, if you want to find that, that's in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Because this is where he said there's no private interpreter. He does his own interpretation. God speaks and interprets himself, then reveals it to whoever he will. And hides it from all others. He don't have to reveal it to anybody unless he wants to. He says he has expressed his whole thing in Scripture. Therefore, the whole thing is already made known. It's just, he's just sitting there watching it happen now. Now, he says, just seeing the body be made and come back to it, to the form, his bride again. Oh my. So far, I don't see where it could ever be limited to just cursing in the name of Jesus Christ. No. Not at all. Not if you understand. Who's this Melchizedek? Now we find out this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, ending of life. It was God in Morphe. Talk about Melchizedek. Now the world, he says, now the world, where the word comes, the Greek word means change, was used changing himself in morphe from one person to another person. The Greek word there in morphe means it's taken from stage act. One person is changing his mask to make him the same other character. Like in school, just exactly recently, I believe Rebecca, just before graduated, they had one Shakespeare play, and one young man had to change his clothes several times because he played two or three different parts. But the same person. He come out one time, he was the villain. When he come out the next time, he was another character. And now the Greek word amorphe means that he changed his mask. That's what God did. It's the same God all the time. In the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire. Same God was made flesh and dwelt among us in morphe. Brought out so he could be seen. And now that same God is the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, not three gods, three offices, three acts of one God. Wow. Ain't no different than you and I. You know, I'm a father. I'm a son. Not a granddad yet, but I'm an uncle. Yeah. But my name is Stephen. Now, you can sit there and disrespect me as a father, but who are you disrespecting? Stephen. I'm the same person. Is that right? Absolutely. The Bible said there is one God. Not three, but that's how they, he says, you can't get this straightened out and have three gods. You would never sell a Jew that, I'll tell you that. One who knows better, he knows there's only one God. Notice, like the scripture, he hides a mask over it. That's what God has done to this age, has been hid. All these things has been hid and is supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, the Bible says they will be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculpture keeping his piece of work all covered up until time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has done. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, and it's been hid since the foundation of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we would see it. What a glorious thing. God and Morphe, mask in the pillar of fire. God and Morphe, and a man called Jesus. God and Morphe in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us, the condescending of God. Up there, holy, no one could touch him. He settled upon a mountain. Even an animal would touch the mountain, had to die. Talking about in the time of Moses. And then come down and changed his tent. Come down and lived with us. Became one of us. And he held him. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in flesh, handled with hands. God ate meat, God drank water, God slept, God cried. He was one of us. Beautiful, he says, typed in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit. Now that he says, not the third person, the same person. God came down and become flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made man at the first time for, was for fellowship. God dwells alone with his, he dwelt alone with his cherubim, see. And notice now, he made man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means object of worship. And this is that to come among us as a pillar of fire, as something that changes our hearts, is the same God that said, let there be light. There was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ever since then, people have failed to realize there's just one God with three offices or manifestations. They know there is one God according to Scripture, but they try to make it fantastic theory that God is like a bunch of grapes, three persons with the same divinity shared equally by all. But it plainly says here in Revelation that Jesus is, that which was, that which is to come. He is the Alpha and Omega, which means that he is the A to Z, the all of it. He is everything, the Almighty. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Righteous Branch of the Father. He is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He is God, Almighty God. He's one God, though. Oh, my. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, the greatest mystery of godliness, he says again. God was manifest in flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is what the Bible says. It doesn't say a thing about a first or second, third person here. It says God was manifest in flesh, one God. The one God was manifest in flesh. He said that ought to settle it. God came in human form. That didn't make him another God. He was God, the same God. It was a revelation then, and it is a revelation now, one God. Let's go back to the Bible and see what he was in the beginning. According to Revelation, he gave it himself. The great Jehovah appeared to Israel in a pillar of fire. Wow. As the angel of the covenant,
He lived in that pillar of fire and led Israel daily. At the temple, he announced his coming with a great cloud. Then one day he was manifest in a virgin-born body that was prepared for him. The God that tabernacled above in tents of Israel now took on himself a tent of flesh and tabernacled as a man amongst men. But he was the same God. The Bible teaches God was in Christ. The body was Jesus. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Nothing can be plainer than that. Mystery, yes, but actually truth. It can't be plainer. So if he wasn't three people then, he can't be three now. No, he's one God. And this same God was made flesh. Jesus said, I came from God and I go back to God. John 16, 27, 28. That is exactly what happened. He disappeared from the earth by the way of his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. Then Paul met him on the road to Damascus. And he spoke to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. That's what Brother Branham says. He was a pillar of fire. Wow. A blinding light. He had turned back. Exactly as he said he would. Back to the same form that he said, back to the same form that he was before. He took on a tabernacle of flesh. Before he took on this tabernacle of flesh, he went back to the same form. That is exactly how John saw it. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Notice where John says that Jesus is, he is in the bosom of the Father. Luke 2:11 says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was born the Christ. And 8 days later, when he was circumcised, he was named Jesus, even as the angel had told him. I was born, he said, I was born of Branham. When I was born, they gave me the name of William. He was Christ, but he was given a name down here among men. That outward tabernacle men could see was called Jesus. He was the Lord of glory, the Almighty, manifest in flesh. He is God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He is all that. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just titles. They're not names. That is why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is the name, not a title. It is the name of those titles. Just like you take a newborn baby who is the son and name him baby is what he is. Son, title. When you name him John Henry Brown, you just don't baptize him in Jesus' name. No, there are thousands of Jesus in the world have been ever before in this name of Jesus. He's Jesus our Savior. But there is only one them born the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. People talk about Jesus being the eternal Son of God. Now, isn't that a contradiction? Whoever heard of a son being eternal? Sons have beginnings, but that which is eternal never had a beginning. He is the eternal God, Jehovah, manifest in flesh. In St. John's Gospel, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Don't you think that's God's Word when I read to you in His Ten Commandments? It's God. Oh my. How I should be very respectful to God. My Lord, Jesus, my Lord Jesus, yeah. Because you understand the Godhead. You understand what this is all about, yeah. Oh my. God has many titles: our righteousness, our peace, ever present, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But he has one human name. And that name is Jesus. Oh my. The bride goes wherever the bridegroom is. She will never be left by him. She will never leave his side. She will share the throne with him. She will be crowned with his glory and honor. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And what is the name of God? Well, he was God with us, Emmanuel. But that was not his given name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. And you receive me not. Therefore, the name of God is Jesus. For that is the name he came in. He is Lord Jesus Christ. What name does a woman take when she marries the man? She takes his name. It will be his name that is given unto the bride when he takes her himself. It's all the same God, right? Yeah. So, I ain't got time to go further in too much further. I'll read a little bit more. But so all these times now the prophet mentions about when he'd say, my God, dear God, my great Savior, the Lord of Lords, King Jesus. Why weren't those things in vain? Because he was talking to the Lord and talking about him and his word. But I have yet, and I've took quite a few weeks to study on this, and I've never yet seen anything in a message where Brother Branham ever used that name lightly in a way that would be disrespectful. Never. God's only private place of worship. Let's go on this real quickly, and we'll close for this morning. By, paragraph 227. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and that body is a family. The family of God, and that's the house of God. And the house of God is the name of Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is mighty tower and righteous running into. And he says, run, he says, back up. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And he says, now how are you going to come in by a title? I just want you to understand what he's reading or what he's saying and what I'm meaning. How's your check going to be received by saying, paid to the order of Reverend Doctor Minister? See, you might be a reverend or doctor or minister, but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is it, see? I have chose to put my name at the door of the house of my worship, for my family will be gathered in there under the blood, like it was in Egypt. Anything outside died, and in there there's no leavened bread. There's no denominational mixture in it anywhere. My house, my children, born of my genes. Glory to God. My genes are in them, he says. I put my word in them. I write them upon the tables of their heart. That's my family. The family of the body of Jesus Christ, the family. And this door you'll come in, not a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, but in the door where I put my name, it ain't Methodist. God's name ain't Methodist. God's name ain't Pentecost. God's name ain't Baptist. God's name ain't Catholic. He said, stay out of the doors then, see? But in a place where I chose to put my name, now there's not another place in the Bible given where that God ever put his name, only in Jesus Christ. For he is the Son of God, taking the name of God and God's human name. And there's not another name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. I don't care Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catechism, or whatever you might want to, shall confess him being Lord. Is he not? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Yes. I'm not done reading things yet, but so far what I've read, wouldn't any of these things so far, what I've read, be precious to us? I mean, wouldn't it make me want to think before maybe I say something or let my children say something? Wouldn't it make me even begin to think? You know, the first time I ever heard a minister do that, he was laughing about some of the most carnal stuff that was being done. And he was just sitting there hee-hawing on, dear Jesus, ha-ha-ha-ha. And I mean, and it had nothing to do with the word, had nothing, it was just nothing carnal. Clear back then, there was something on the inside saying, that ain't right.
just not right. How could it be? Take that carnal joke, nonsense, and attach my Lord Jesus to it. A man shall give an account of every idle word that proceeds from his mouth. But sometimes our tongue is so loose, we talk before we even think. But may we be quick to hear and slow to speak. And wait upon the Lord. I'd rather wait upon the Lord and know what I'm talking about than to speak in vain. And disrespect my Lord. The prophet said, the world is falling apart. My pleasure is in the Lord. Your pleasure is in the Lord. I trust all of us are. Our pleasure is in the Lord. If you would die out in the, he said, if you would die out to the world, see, then God is my joy. He is my peace. He is my sacrifice. He is my God. He is my love. He is my all and all that I have need of. I meet it in Christ, thirsting. Oh my. I'll quit on this one. Here was our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross. Matthew 27 and 41 beginning. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My. It's precious. Do you realize what he was going through at that time? And then we make phrases out of it that has no sincerity in it. Means nothing. Nothing at all. Sometimes we don't even know why we said it. So far, I've just explained why I don't do it and will not do it. Every individual is their own. You cannot live by what I believe or understand. I cannot live by what you live, believe, understand. We're individuals between God, with God. So we all stand before the Lord. Okay. But I'm just telling you and showing you, you ask me, I'm just trying to show you why. Why I do not believe in it. Me. For me. And I am a minister. But I don't think it's just limited to ministers. But anyhow, that's why I feel the way I do about it. That's why you won't hear me make cunning, smart remarks with my Lord Jesus Christ's name in it. In vain. You won't hear me because I love him more than that. If I use that name, I want it to be in sincerity and love and respect to him. Yes. And never in a day would I ever let my children ever, I don't care who they heard saying it, they wouldn't be said in my house. No. Never in a day. But sometimes as parents we think, oh, I can say. But just remember, those little fellas are hearing everything you say. Oh, yeah. And you're teaching them the way to go. It's kind of like a little phrase we said before, or somebody else said before, you know. What you allow, you teach. Yeah. And it's true. What you allow, you teach. You see? And that would make me sick to hear if one of my daughters
would maybe be over playing with the other one, you know. My God, why'd you get into this, sissy? Oh, my. It would be, oh, God, then. Because my board would be a fly. Yes. Why? I want them to respect my Lord. And whatever was used in that scripture, look at the many people that cried out to God in that Old Testament. Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, help me with this. Those men of old. Why didn't they say Lord Jesus? He wasn't born yet in flesh. He didn't come yet in flesh. No. But God was still God. And it was the same God. Yeah. He wasn't a different one. Same God. And if Jesus be Lord, let him be Lord of all. Hallelujah. Because he is Lord. Can you imagine me getting on one of the guys at the shop? Maybe I brought a car in and I'm supposed to clean it up. And maybe they didn't get it quite right. Say, Lord Jesus, can't you do a better job than that? Oh. You know what I think it is? Sick. Sick. What does the Lord Jesus have to do with that car you wash? It was spoken vanity. Without sincerity, meaningless, which is what is said in the scripture. And the Hebrew breaks it down, meaningless. Oh, Lord, it's precious to say my Lord. It's precious to say my God, my Savior, my Lord Jesus. I hope so far you understand. I hope. I fought this one to get up here today. I didn't want anybody to take it wrong. But again, if you want to, just act like you never heard this. But for me and my house, this is the way I am. And I can't see it no other way. I respect my Lord Jesus to the highest, the very highest. He is my all. I'm so thankful that he gave his life for me. I appreciate it so very much. Amen. And whenever I say Lord, I want to mean it from the depths of my heart, never in a foolish way. Whenever I say my God, my Savior, Jehovah, where it may be, I want to mean it from the depths of my heart in respect. Honor for what he has done for me. Amen. Again, I hope you people understand. Why don't you come up to the instrument, sister? Amen. I might get fired after that one. Amen. But nevertheless, I've got to know inside what I've got. And if you ask me, I'm going to tell you why I feel that way. I want you to know that, why I feel that way. Like I said, it's been kind of a question quite a few weeks, and people kind of wonder about, and their children picking it up here, and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. Well, friends, I'm just trying to be honest with you. Could I ask you, raise your hand? How many wants their children to talk like that? I don't. No. I do not, friends. Look what that can go off into. Oh my. We're living in a terrible age, saints. Terrible age. It's an age of deception, carnality, foolishness. Like little boys going through the graveyard whistling, you know. It's an age of filth, sodomy. Yes. And I warn again. You parents, be careful of a couple of your little boys here and there. Be careful. Because there's a little seed homosexuality, trying to burrow into the little hearts. You're responsible, daddies, to catch it. When your little boy is getting that big and he's acting like a sissy, friend, something's wrong. When he wants to do sissy things, something's wrong. And when they go talking like a sissy, something's wrong. I warn you, don't forget. Well, Brother Steve, I think I can handle it. Just don't forget something else. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. Shall be revealed. And as it was in the days of Sodom, so is it today. And that spirit of sodomy is throughout all the land. Do you think Satan's going to try to stop out there in the world? He's going to come right in this church and try to do it. Yes. Like he's gotten in many other churches and done it. But hopefully you parents will be smart enough and spiritual enough to see it and catch it. And be very careful. Yes. As parents, you've got a job on your hands, I'm telling you. You're the pastor of your home. You must make sure that nothing enters in like that. Nothing. You should be watching for spirits like that. And be careful. Remember, your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can bring that corruption in your home, then he knows he can bring it in this church. And I don't want to have to be the one that deals with it. But I will if I have to. Let us all stand. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come very sincerely before you this morning. Trust, Lord, you've taken these few words so far I've read about this that we've been able to take it in our hearts and at least think about it and meditate on it, Lord. Because, Father, we want to be so pleasing to you. We want to do everything just exactly the way you want it. And we live in that time and age, Lord, where people have lost the respect for you. They've taken Bibles out of schools. They've taken prayer out of schools. They're trying to take God off of money. Just the name of God. Just that title, God, off the money. It's a corrupt, diverse world of sin and corruption. But Lord, help us here in this little tabernacle. And the little bride, wherever she may be. The Father, keep our hearts and our goals set on things above, not on things of the earth. That we would not allow Satan the opportunity to come in and cause us to disrespect you and to say things, Lord, and make you as though you're not important. But Lord, you are the great I am, the truth, the light, and the way. You are God Almighty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thou art our Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I pray now, Lord, that you'll bless us as we leave this little place. And help us, Lord, to understand. As I said, Lord, and told the people, if nothing else, Lord, just so they'll know how I feel that it should be. It's up to every individual what they believe, what they hear, and we won't condemn them. It's whatever they feel in their hearts. But Lord, I must live by what you placed inside me. I'm trusting, Lord, with all my heart, that's what's going to get me through. Your precious Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord, and thank you again for your mercy and grace. Go with us, keep us safe, Lord, upon the highways. As we travel, Lord, may You keep your hand upon us now. And bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing just that little chorus. Prophet sung so many times, I love him. I love him. I respect him by his mercy and grace. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I want to clear something up to make sure you understand. When I mentioned about those that wouldn't be here to listen to the word, that I don't feel responsible. How could I be responsible for? I understand absolutely some can't be here every service. It's impossible. I won't say impossible, but very inconvenient. Because you live so far away and different things, maybe things in a job comes up. But when it's something that you decide to do, there was definitely nothing to keep you from being here, but you want to do it, then that's what I'm talking about. When you have your decisions that you'd rather do something over here carnal, fleshly, I'm not talking about going on vacation. No. But when you just decide, I ain't going today because you just don't want to go, well, that's your problem. But you can't expect me to be a shepherd to you and to help you if you don't want to be here. I'm just saying it plain. And yes, it tears the heart out of me when I can't help you. When I know if you'll come and listen to the word, it may be the very thing you needed. There's somebody who could have been here today and not, and this would have helped. Whether the person will desire to listen to it even, I don't know. But so many times when people don't come, they don't even care to listen to it. So what, you know? And I know by no means I'm no great preacher. I am no great teacher. I am nothing. But if God places you somewhere under a shepherd, then you ought to try to get what food off of him you can. Yeah, that's the responsibility. Forsake not to assemble yourselves together, even more so as you see a day approaching. Amen. So, may God bless you. May you understand what I've said so far. I think the message oftentimes Brother Branham spoke, God misunderstood. And so many times people misunderstand. But I trust you will not misunderstand what I've said so far today. But that name, and even those titles are very precious to me. Even what them scriptures spoke of before the Lord Jesus Christ came is very precious to me. Yes. So may God bless you, and may he bless you with all his goodness. I love you. May God bless you and meet every need for you. You're dismissed. Amen. Praise his name.